Today, all that is left of the Red Barn Theater is a gutted frame. The Lake Simcoe landmark went up in flames on Saturday night, and with it went 59 years of summer theater history. Hugh Sibbald's family has owned the building since it was first built, and the Sibbalds also own the nearby Briars Resort. We're going to talk to him in just a moment, but we wanted to make a little bit of time today, maybe to hear a few of your stories about the Red Barn. If you have a memory of summer theater at the Red Barn, we'd love to hear from you, and you can reach us toll free anywhere you're listening in from 1-888-817-8995. That telephone number again, 1-888-817-8995. We have reached Hugh Sibbald by telephone. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Who am I speaking to?
It's Rita Celli here at the CBC.
Hi, Rita. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you doing?
Very well.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're recovering. We're over the shock, and now we're making our plans for what we're going to do next.
Where were you when the fire broke out?
Well, I was just leaving the office at the Briars and was walking out to the car, and we heard some kind of snap, crackle, pops, and somebody ran out of the resort to say the barn was on fire, and we were over there within a couple of minutes, and it was pandemonium after that.
What were you thinking as you watched this?
Well, you know, you just, first of all, we had to run into emergency mode, you know, and we had to get the gate open for the fire department and all that kind of thing. And then your heart just sinks, and you just watch it, and what can you really say? We knew pretty early on, within a few minutes, that once the fire had started, it was too far gone to stop. And, you know, the fire department did a terrific job keeping it from spreading, but it was just heartbreaking.
Yeah, I mean, I guess to fully understand that, maybe you can remind all our listeners a little bit of the story of the Red Barn and its beginnings.
Well, the Red Barn was built originally. There was a small part of barn on the property, a stable, and my great uncle Frank built the main part of the barn in 1883, and it was a barn. You know, it had cows in there, and it was leased to a succession of people, and my father remembers watching Mrs. Sellers milking the cows in the basement of the barn. So what happened was the barn, as I said, had a series of farmers leasing it, and it was vacant. And in 1948, Alfred Mulock and Steffi Locke, who were New York actors, arrived at the Briars in a convertible with a loud group of friends sitting in the back. And at that time, Alfred's dad had a cottage just down the way, and Alfred was acting up in Toronto. He was taking a break from New York, and his friends and him thought, well, that'd be kind of a hoot to get a barn. And so they came to see my granddad, who was the Reeve, to see if he knew of anything that was available, and he said, well, I've got just the place.
And so it began.
That's right, and he showed it to them, and then several weeks later they came back again, and one of his friends got up in the rafters and sang to test the acoustics, and that was Harry Belafonte. And so the story goes that after Harry said the acoustics were okay, he got down from the rafters and they all went out and broke a bottle of beer over the side of the silo to christen the barn.
This is incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, you've seen a lot of people go through there over the years.
We sure have. You know, Alfred Mulock had it for a couple of years, and then Brian Doherty took it over. And Brian Doherty, of course, later went on to the Shaw Festival. And Bill Glasgow, Leon Major, Marigold Charlesworth, and many famous actors of the time. And then, of course, more recently, there have been others who've really got started there. And Peter Zosky, who many CBC listeners will remember, of course, also brought another kind of color to the theater, because he used to do fundraisers up there.
Well, we're speaking to Hugh Sibbald. His family has owned the Red Barn Theater. It did burn to the ground over the weekend. Some 59 years ago started summer theater history. And we're inviting some of your memories at 1-888-817-8995. And Hugh Sibbald, you've agreed to stay on the line with us. Let's go to one of our first callers.
Sure.
Luba Goy is calling us from Toronto. Hello to you.
Oh, hello. Hi there.
Well, people
Yes.
would recognize your voice and your works on other stages. What's your connection?
Oh, I was out of town in Ottawa, the nation's capital. I just heard this morning that of this tragedy, and I just felt I had to call in. And Hugh, I'm very, very sorry to hear about your loss
Oh, thank you, Luba.
for the whole area. I was there, I guess, around the summer of '82 when they practically just opened the
Yes.
theater. We were doing the California Suite, a beautiful comedy.
Right.
I think Patrick Rose and Dan Hennessy. And
Yeah,
would
I saw you in that, Luba.
you know, I was just
Yeah.
thinking, I know it's selfish of me, but I'm thinking, what about all those wonderful posters, you know, that were in the lobby? And
Well, some of the stuff was taken out for the winter, but we're not really sure what. We haven't had a chance to check it all, and it's so we hope we've got some good memorabilia still.
Luba, let me ask you just
yeah.
to maybe how you would describe your own experience being in there for people maybe who never had the pleasure of being at the Red Barn.
Well, you know, it was our Air Farce was in our radio days on CBC Radio, and so you know, being a trained actor from the National Theatre School, I had the opportunity to do plays in the summer, and I was so excited to be part of the California Suite, which is like a play in four, you know, four acts and or three acts, the experience was just wonderful. It was like being on vacation, but being able to work, you know, as a performer. We would arrive, like I would travel by bicycle from these cabins by the lake where I stayed with my 6-year-old son at the time, my babysitter, and I would travel to rehearsals and the show by bicycle and get a ride back. And in the evening, when the audience was coming in, you could see the sunlight coming in through the slats of the barn. It was very, very magical. And you know, that sort of dust that you see, you know, in the air through the sunbeams. It was a beautiful, beautiful place to perform. You know, fresh air and the audiences were just wonderful.
Yeah.
It's just
Did the bats ever visit you, Luba?
the bats didn't, but I'll tell you, I was backstage. And the scene that I was not in, the actress was sitting, and she had this slip on, and this black slip. And she was doing the scene and pretending to paint her nails. And on her knee was a giant, what do you call those things that they get up with their hands, their legs up, they're green.
Animals?
Praying mantis.
Oh, praying
okay.
A
Where are we
huge,
going?
like a 4-inch giant praying mantis was sitting on her knee, and she was not aware of it.
Oh,
And its little legs were up, and I was like, "Oh my God, look at it, you know, look what's on her knee." And then it just kind of crawled away, and you know,
and the show went on.
the show went on. But I think it was the magic of the light before it became dark that people really felt they were in a real barn. And you know, I always hoped that they would never, you know, fill in the holes and patch it up. It was just a magical place to work. And
I want to thank you, Luba Goy, actor calling in about the burning of the Red Barn Theater. Hugh Sibbald is on the line with us. Now you're going to stick around with us. We'll take a few other calls about memories of the Red Barn. If you did also see an experience much like Luba Goy was describing, you can reach us at 1-888-817-8995. We'll do that just when we come back. Also coming up in the next half hour, certainly we know the forestry industry is in trouble, mills closing, a giant pulp and paper company trying to pay creditors. But still, there are those who are trying to make sure that there are still trees to harvest. We're going to talk about reliable and sustainable forests and also take a spin in a Fiat car. Welcome back to Ontario Today. I'm Rita Celi. The Red Barn Theatre was a gem, a busy stage for 59 years. And as you're learning over the weekend, there was a drastic fire. The Red Barn Theatre was ruined over the weekend. Hugh Sibbald's family has owned the building since it was built, and he's on the line with us. Welcome back to you.
Hi, Rita.
So we just heard a little bit of Luba Goy's memories as he was a young actor there, the young child in the early early 80s. She was asking about the posters and some things. What are your plans? You did say off the top, you're trying to look forward. What are the plans for the Red Barn?
Well, we there this is the Diamond Jubilee season, and the theater's run operated by a nonprofit organization, the Lake Simcoe Arts Foundation. We still plan to put on the season, although it's too early to tell where. We are hoping to have the theater rebuilt, and we're also hoping that it's possible we might actually be able to have the season on the same property. We'll know a little more as the week goes by and as we work with our insurers and so on.
Okay, we'll take a few other callers. I
Okay,
can tell
thank you
you
very much.
we probably are going to have more callers than time, but let's hear. I think you'll probably enjoy hearing some of these memories.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Sybil's on the line with us in Peterborough. Hi, Sybil.
Hi, Arita.
Hi, tell us about your thoughts or your memories of the Red Barn.
Well, it's really hard because I'm 59 and I was there in the late 50s. My dad was an actor at the Red Barn, Alan Nunn. And so my memories are as a child coming and spending the summer at a cottage and then coming out to the Red Barn. But my brother worked on making posters and my mother worked in the box office and I'd get to hang around this barn. And I still remember, I don't know whether it was Marigold and Jean's cats, up in the rafters of the barn, walking across, big yellow cat. During a performance, you'd look up and there would be these bloody cats walking across the rafters. I remember the bats. Swooping down into the footlights. I remember a performance of Murder in the Red Barn,
Oh,
which
yes,
was a melodrama.
Yeah.
Do you remember that one with
Well,
Bill
I don't
Corder?
remember it, but if we're lucky, we still have that poster.
Yeah, my dad was sort of the evil villain, the kind of,
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
twirling the mustache, time on the railway tracks guy. And during the show, there was a time when someone had this baby in a crib on the stage, a fake baby, obviously, and a dog came up the back stairs from the dressing rooms down below, a great big stray dog, and the woman just picked up the cradle and ran off the stage.
Well, Sybil, your story too. I mean, and Hugh, Sybil, maybe we want to pick up on this. It's just it was really interactive kind of theater in
It
some
really
ways.
was. You know, the story about the bats that I've heard is that the actors would name the bat after the latest theater critic who was hassling
So it became a character
That's
too.
right.
Exactly.
That's right.
Let's go to Cambridge. Lynn is on the line with us. Hi, Lynn.
Hello.
Hi. So, what's your memory of the Red Barn Theater?
Well, I was so privileged to go because Peter Zosky and Sheila Rogers and were fundraising for literacy.
Yes, that's
So
right.
that's when I attended over many years, and my memory is of Peter introducing Ben Heppner, Ben walking out on the stage. Not even a downbeat, he opened his mouth and sang, "Be My Love." I was just blown away. It was wonderful. So that's my memory.
What was so beautiful about it, Lynn?
Oh, it was so moving, and he has such a wonderful voice. It was just in the beginning of his career, and you know, typical of the CBC and Zosky, and Sheila Rogers also, with her appreciation of musicians. They did so much to introduce so many different musicians from across the country to all of us. So that's for me, that was just, oh,
Yeah, you can
sorry.
hear that obviously. No, we can hear that in your voice. And Hugh Sybold, again, I don't know if it's heartwarming or more difficult to hear sort of these kind of emotional memories.
No, it's heartwarming. And you know, Lynn, like yourself, for so many people, the Red Barn was all about the kind of experience of being there as well. And I remember that performance as well. And what I remember, not that one, but another, going out after the theater, and Luba was talking about the light. Earlier on, Lou Bogoy, and walking out of the theater doors, probably about 10:30 or 11, and lo and behold, the northern lights were dancing just over the lake, and it was a marvelous spot, and you know, we hope we can continue the tradition in some way.
Let's go to Colin in Georgetown. Hi, Colin.
Good morning. Good afternoon.
Yes, tell us about your memories.
Well, my wife and I have wonderful memories because we acted there for 3 consecutive years.
Oh, okay.
We did Angel of Death the first year, and then when my wife did Night Must Fall the second year, and then the third year we did A Murder Is Announced. The memory I have was not so much of the bat. The bat did make its a performance one night with the remark of A Murder Is Announced and flew into the audience, but also raccoons.
Okay.
We had stage blood backstage, and the bottle was open because my wife, who was played the lead, needed to rush backstage, dab herself with some stage blood, and come back on stage. Well, unfortunately, the raccoons found it.
Oh.
We came into the theater one evening, and we found that not only had the bottle been emptied, but also there were raccoon prints over everything. Red raccoon prints. They were over scripts. They were over backstage. We had a massive cleanup job that night before we could start the performance.
Oh, wow. So I guess you weren't very happy to hear the news that...
Oh, very deeply saddened. What we used to do was we'd take my three sons up for the time period we were rehearsing. We'd rent a cottage, as the previous caller had said. We'd spend three or four wonderful weeks up there, have a great time, and have just fabulous memories of a terrific theater. And as I say, we are so sad that it has disappeared to fire.
Yeah. Well, Colin, those are wonderful memories. What's your last name, Colin?
The family name is Hoare, H-O-A-R-E.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's great.
Well, Colin, thank you also for your call. Hugh Sibbald, I'm getting an idea here that if you physically lost things, maybe this could be a nice opportunity to collect more stories.
Oh, yeah.
For the archives, yes. At least. Like, that's a Colin story, and we've heard some of them already, that maybe there's a way to, you know, have a nod to the past, and as you say, you're still hoping to rebuild something.
There. Yes, yeah, maybe we could start a little kind of blog, and people could send their stories in.
Wouldn't it be brilliant? I mean, you know, maybe it's an opportunity, too. And listen, you said you're going ahead still with the summer season. Not sure where. I mean, would you throw up tents around there? Or?
Well, we've talked about that, and, you know, it's early days, because Sunday yesterday was the first day after the fire, and
yeah.
We were still in shock. We met, and I know the Arts Foundation is meeting later in the week as well, and, you know, we're going to do something, but it's going to take us a little while to kind of gather our forces and make it happen.
Yeah, that's understandable.
Yeah.
Well, Hugh Sibbald, thank you for joining us and taking some of these memories. Good luck to you.
Okay, it's been a real pleasure, Rita. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hugh Sibbald's family owns the Red Barn Theater as well as the adjoining Briars Resort on Lake Simcoe. And of course, as you've been hearing, the Red Barn Theater burned on Saturday night. If you have a summer theater memory at the Red Barn that you'd like to share with us, you can ring TalkBack 1-888-591-4111 or email us at OntarioToday@cbc.ca.